Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is Brian Albrecht, your host. Today, our scripture is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, which is sort of a command. Paul is at the end of the letter, and he's giving his final instructions to the Corinthians. And he says this, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love." Paul here is admonishing the Corinthians and us that we should watch, look out today, be careful to see what's going on around us, to see what forces are coming against us. We should also be strong in the faith. We should continue to trust the Lord, because even as things get more confusing and things get darker and darker in this culture, in this society, we still have our faith in God, and we know that He controls all things, and He controls this culture. He controls government leaders. He controls those who are over us. But we can still trust Him because He still loves us and cares for us and is meeting our needs each day. But what He says is everything that we do, even though there's negative things that come into our life and bad things that disappoint us and frustrate us sometimes and even depress us, we can still have our trust and faith in God. And we can always act in love towards others. Even if other people are not treating us well, we still need to speak the truth in love and be loving people who are trying to win others to Jesus Christ. And so I trust throughout 2019 that God will continue to use you to further His kingdom and be an ambassador for Christ.
Mission Moments is being brought to you by Mission Go, the mission agency with hundreds of points of light in the form of missionaries that spread the gospel worldwide and support the continued outreach of Canada's National Bible Hour. This is Dennis Campbell, president of Mission Go. I would like to continue to the important letters from the mission field. According to recent reports, severe flooding in the whole of Chad has left over 500 dead and around 2 million people impacted in various ways. Please pray for those impacted by the flooding and for recovery efforts. Translation update. Since completing the checking of the Gospel of Mark in May, the translation team has been working hard translating the Gospel of Matthew. The process is slow, but at times certain verses can almost bring progress to a complete standstill. Trying to find the best way to translate a word or phrase can be tricky and often requires using many different Bible translations, commentaries, translation helps, and the original Greek. Thankfully, not every verse is that complicated. While completing the translation of the Gospel of Matthew will likely take another 9 months or so, Art and the team have been making steady progress on the first half of the book. And now we set to begin a final consultant checking of some of the completed chapters beginning December 16th for 1 week. We are hoping that week will result in at least chapters 1 through 10 being consultant checked. While those checking sessions will be overnight for Art, he will also be working overnight with the team the first week of December in preparation for those sessions. This will involve bringing in a couple national speakers to the translation office to listen to the translation of Matthew, and then asking them questions for accuracy and naturalness of the passages, which time he will be testing more of Matthew. As is usual, he gathers men from the village to hear the reading of newly translated passages. Questions are posed and feedback is given to ensure the passages are clear, correct, and natural. This is a great opportunity for many to hear the gospel for the first time. Pray that God would bring the right men to hear His word and open their hearts to receive it with joy and conviction. This is also an important time to reconnect face-to-face with the translation team, maintain other relationships among the families, missionary colleagues, and also build new relationships to better ensure the success of this ministry and the acceptance of God's Word. Your gifts would be greatly appreciated. In addition to those expenses, it is customary to come bearing gifts or providing finances for food for the people we have been in relationship with. This is something we are grateful to be able to do for these people who have so little. If you feel led to give toward this trip, you can give here and then add a memo stating, Bible translation, thank you. It is really amazing to think of how many years have passed since we began in the ministry of Bible translation. Thank you for listening this week, Moments in Missions. New Year at Canada's National Bible Hour, we would like to make available a booklet about patience by Robert Strand. As we continue the offering, the devotional series, The Nine Fruits of the Spirit, the Greek word pronounced makrothume means forbearance, long-enduring, fortitude, long-suffering, and patience. When does a person develop patience? At the point of the new birth? How long does it take to cultivate this fruit to maturity? What does it take to make the process happen? The special application of this quality of character is most often exhibited in dealing with our people relationships. Perhaps it's easier to approach this from a not negative side. Lack of patience can poison relationships and too often ruin what would otherwise be an outstanding, maybe even brilliant personalities, but this fruit takes time to mature. Galatians 5:22-23, it is love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In these Bible studies, the bestseller author Robert Strand, you will learn about yourself and how to relate to others as you gain a deeper understanding of what it means to be in Christ. To order your copy of the booklet Patience, a devotion series by Robert Strand, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2, AR707, or in the U.S., Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. We wish to bless your life with these messages.
join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and
today's message is from Dr. Fred Hartman and is entitled Obadiah, What a Great Book in God's Word. Printed copies are available upon request.
A few weeks ago, our pastor was challenging our church to read through the Bible in a year. Then he said something that really struck home in my heart. He said, suppose when you get to heaven, a man walks up to you and says, here's Zephaniah, and asks you, how did you like my book in the Bible? What would you say? It really made me think. In light of that, let's look at the book written by the prophet Obadiah today. What do you know about his prophecy? Obadiah is the shortest book in the Old Testament, consisting of only 21 verses. There are 12 men who had this name in the Old Testament, and the writer is one of them. The name Obadiah in the Hebrew means worshiper of Jehovah. Since the entire book is written concerning Edom, it would do us well to learn about the background of this place. Today it covers the southern part of the country of Jordan and lies just east of Israel in the area of the Dead Sea. We know that when Esau left Canaan and Jacob, he settled at Mount Seir, which is Edom. In the years following that, there developed bad blood between the Jewish people and Edom. According to Numbers 20, when the children of Israel were on their wilderness journey to the Promised Land, Moses sent messengers to the king of Edom requesting permission to go through that land. The response is found in Numbers 20, 20 and 21, where the king said, you shall not pass through. So Edom came out against them with many men and a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his territory, so Israel turned away from him. In the books of Samuel and Kings, we see where there were real problems between Edom and Israel. In actuality, there were perpetual problems. There were hostilities between them during the life or the reign of King Saul, David, and Solomon. So the animosity toward Israel and the hatred continued for centuries. Later, Edom was conquered by the Nabataeans, and many of the Edomites fled into Judah, where they remained. In the Bible, they became known as the Idumeans. From these people came a very famous family in Israel who actually ruled over the Jewish people. We know them as the Herods. Was it not a Herod who ordered the baby boys slaughtered at the time when Jesus was born? Jesus was tried before Herod. Was not John the Baptist slain and his head brought to King Herod on a charger? Was it not the Apostle Paul who was brought before Herod Agrippa? So we see there was a constant hatred of the Jewish people by the Edomites. In the first 9 verses of the book of Obadiah, we find a message from God to the prophet for the nations to rise up against Edom and destroy her. We know from the book of Daniel that God often uses one nation against another to accomplish his will. In verses 2 through 4, we find the destruction of Edom prophesied. Behold, I will make you small among the nations. You shall be greatly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, you who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Though you exalt yourself on high as the eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, from there will I bring you down, says the Lord. In essence, these verses tell us that for one thing, it would be the pride of Edom that would bring her down. Edom was proud of her wealth gained by trading and mining. We know that Petra is a place in Edom that is carved out of solid rock. Because of these things, the people there thought they were impregnable. and no one could defeat them. God says that though man might not be able to do it, he would swoop down like an eagle and take her down. In verses 5 through 7, it tells us that the enemy would come in like thieves in the night and would take everything. Nothing would be left even for the gleaners. The Nabataeans did exactly that some years later. How did they do it? Their people gradually moved into the land as immigrants until enough of them had come, and they just took over the land. This is exactly what verse 8 is saying. The men at peace with you shall deceive you and prevail against you. Those who eat your bread shall lay a trap for you. No one is aware of it. The wise men of Edom were cut off, and their army was in total disarray. Teman, the capital, is speaking of the entire country. Her arrogance led her to complete humiliation at the hands of their enemy. The word of God gives us the reason for the fall of Edom in verses 10 through 14. It was because of their attitudes, as recorded in verses 10 through 12, and because of her actions, recorded in verses 13 and 14. Edom was arrogant against her brother Jacob, or the Jewish people. She had a continual violent hatred against them. When other nations fought against Jerusalem, she sided with them. This was followed by rejoicing over the destruction of Judah and boasting that their enemy had been defeated. As for their actions, they were even worse. They entered the gates of Jerusalem and looted the city of its wealth. Not only did they do that, but they killed those who were trying to escape and gave the survivors over to the invading army. When we come to verse 15 of Obadiah, the picture completely changes. It takes a Herculean jump in time, all the way over to the day of the Lord, which is still future from today. Here, what will happen to Edom at that time becomes an illustration of God's judgment on all the nations at that future day. The destruction of Edom foreshadows what the Lord will do to the nations that similarly mistreat his chosen people Israel. This is made clear in verses 15 through 17. For the day of the Lord upon all the nations is near. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your reprisal shall return upon your own head. For as you drank on my holy mountain, so shall all the nations drink continually. Yes, they shall drink and swallow, and they shall be as though they had never been. Now let us go to some parallel scripture passages that speak of Edom in the future. We could read about this in Isaiah 34, 5 and 6, and Jeremiah 49. But for the sake of time, we'll look at Ezekiel 25, verses 12 to 14. Thus says the Lord God, because of what Edom did against the house of Judah by taking vengeance, and is greatly offended by avenging herself on them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will also stretch out my hand against Edom, cut off man and beast from it, and make it desolate from Teman. Dedan shall fall by the sword. I will lay my vengeance on Edom by the hand of my people Israel, that they may do in Edom according to my anger and according to my fury. And they shall know my vengeance, says the Lord God. Not only will God pour out his wrath on Edom, but he will use Israel to accomplish it. Finally, we'll look at Ezekiel chapter 35. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Mount Seir, and prophesy against it, and say to it, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, O Mount Seir, I am against you. I will stretch out my hand against you, and make you most desolate. I shall lay your cities waste, and you shall be desolate. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Because you've had an ancient hatred and have shed the blood of the children of Israel by the power of the sword at the time of their calamity, when their iniquity came to an end. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord God, I will prepare you for blood, and blood shall pursue you. Thus I will make Mount Seir most desolate, and cut off from it the one who leaves and the one who will return. And I will fill its mountains with the slain, on your hills and in your valleys, and in your ravines those who are slain by the sword shall fall. I will make you perpetually desolate, and your cities shall be uninhabited. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, because you have said, these two nations and these two countries shall be mine, and we will possess them, although the Lord was there. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord God, I will do according to your anger and according to the envy which you showed in your hatred against them, and I will make myself known among them when I judge you. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have heard all your blasphemies, which you have spoken against the mountains of Israel, saying they are desolate, they are given to us to consume. Thus with your mouth you have boasted against me, and multiply your words against me. I have heard them. Thus says the Lord God, the whole earth will rejoice when I make you desolate, as you rejoiced because of the inheritance of the house of Israel was desolate. So I will do to you. You shall be desolate, O Mount Seir, as well as all of Edom, all of it. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. So we learn from the Bible that in the future, Edom will be completely wiped out. The reason? Because of what she has done perpetually to the nation of Israel. Further humiliation will be theirs, because their land will be occupied by Israel during the future reign of Christ, during the millennium. From verses 17 through 21 of Obadiah, we find a great contrast between the future of Edom and Israel. While Edom will be wiped out, the nation of Israel will be blessed in the day of the Lord. They will be delivered from all who have hated her for centuries. This nation will be a holy one, because the Lord himself will be dwelling there. The details of their blessings are covered in many other passages of Scripture, found all throughout the Bible. Will Edom be alone in judgment for what they have done to God's people, Israel? Absolutely not. To make this point clear, let's go back and consider what we learned from Ezekiel. In chapter 25, 1-7, we learn of the future of Ammon. Because Ammon was against Israel, God's sanctuary, and rejoiced with disdain over the calamity of Israel, the Lord promises to destroy her. According to Ezekiel 25, 8-11, Moab will be destroyed and not even remembered because she has spoken evil against the nation of Israel. God also promises judgment upon the area of the Philistines because the Philistines dealt vengefully and took vengeance with a spiteful heart to destroy because of old hatred. We should always remember that God never forgets. In Ezekiel 26, the Lord begins a long section against Tyre. But in verses 2 and 3 we read, Son of man, because Tyre has said against Jerusalem, Aha! She is broken who was the gateway of the peoples. Now she is turned over to me. I shall be filled. She is laid waste. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Tyre, and I will cause many nations to come up against you, as the sea causes its waves to come up. Ezekiel also speaks of judgment to come on Sidon and Egypt, as well as to all other nations that have mistreated Israel. We can sum this all up by a couple of verses recorded in Ezekiel 28, 24-26, where we read, And there's no longer be a pricking briar or a painful thorn for the house of Israel from among all who are around them who despise them. Then they shall know that I am the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God, when I have gathered the house of Israel from the peoples among whom they are scattered and am hallowed in them in the sight of the Gentiles, then they will dwell in their own land which I gave to my servant Jacob. And they shall dwell safely there, build houses and plant vineyards. Yes, they will dwell securely when I exercise judgments on all these around them who despise them. Then they shall know that I am the Lord their God. With all of these scriptures put together, with what the prophet Obadiah wrote, we can plainly see that in the future day of the Lord, there will be a tremendous price to pay at the hand of our God for what nations have done and are doing against the little nation of Israel. We should be aware of the promise God made to Abraham some 4,000 years ago, recorded in Genesis 12:3. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. My friend, that promise has never been abrogated or removed. It holds true for both nations and individuals. You can go back through the dusty pages of history and see that God has kept his promise. Do you remember Adolf Hitler and the Holocaust when 6 million Jews were killed? His rule lasted just 13 years. When his empire fell and he committed suicide, Spain under Ferdinand and Isabella issued the Spanish Inquisition in 1492. Though they had the greatest navy in the world, they were defeated by the British in 1588. As a result, Spain's world dominance quickly diminished. The Inquisition was an edict against the Jewish people. What is it that we should learn from Obadiah and the other scriptures we have used? First of all, God is sovereign. He will keep his word. As believers in Christ, we should stand with the Jewish people. No, they're not always right, but we must remember we're dealing with promises made by God. Secondly, we should encourage others to stand with God's people, and that should include our national leaders. Finally, we need to always remember our Savior was Jewish and encourage others to come to know him as we have.
We at Mission Go and Canada National Bible Hour pray this message will change your life and challenge you to seek a deeper understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take the time to read a couple of verses from the Bible in the book of Matthew 11:28-29. Remember to order your copy of the booklet Patience, a devotion series by Robert Strand. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5:22-23. In these Bible studies, the bestseller author Robert Strand, you will learn about yourself and how to relate to others as you gain a deeper understanding of what it means to be in Christ. To order your copy of the booklet Patience, a devotion series by Robert Strand, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R707, or in the U.S., Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. We wish to bless your life with these messages.